I normally try not to read too many scriptures, but I actually have five passages to read tonight, but they are very short, so I don't think it will take too long. The first is in the first epistle to Timothy on page 1434, and for most of us I think these verses will all be well known. First epistle to Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 5. For God is one, and the mediator of God and men one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. The next verse is a little bit further on in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9, on page 1456. The verse I want to read is verse 27 of chapter 9. It is the portion of men once to die, and after this, judgment. Next verse is in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, on page 1351. Chapter 3 and verse, partway through verse 22. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The fourth verse I want to read is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and it's on page 1243. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 20. But God said to him, "Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall be what thou hast prepared?" And finally, the last verse is in Acts chapter 16, Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, verse on page 1327, and it's verse 30. And leading them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved." I'm sorry for taking through all those passages, but said, they're very short verses, well known to many of us here. I've read them because these verses help us to counter the lies that Satan tells us in the world today. We read in this afternoon of people who are blind and short-sighted, and wasn't really talking about the physical blindness and the physical short-sightedness that we have, or many of us have. It was talking about spiritual blindness and spiritual short-sightedness. And there are many people in the world today that are going about completely blind as to what is happening around them and as to their own lives and the danger that they are in. And there are people who are very short-sighted and not taking a view of what lies ahead and unable to see what lies ahead, because they ignore the word of God. And so the gospel message is preached tonight, and it's being preached here at this very moment to you, so that you might be clear as to what God is saying to you, and that you might have the answer to the little whispers that Satan would make into your head, the lies that he would tell you that cause you to ignore the word of God. I say it with all seriousness because Satan is active in the world today, and he is a deceiver. From the very beginning, Satan has been a deceiver. He's deceiving men, women and children every day, and he attempts to deceive all and turn them away from God, just as he did with Adam and Eve at the very beginning. And I just want to go through four things that Satan will do to you, things that he's tried to do to me. And I want to give you these scriptures that I've read as a way that you can fight off those little messages that Satan would speak to you and try to convince you that you are perfectly all right as you are today, as and you can ignore what God is saying to you. The first thing that Satan will try to tell you is that there is no God. Many people will try and say that to you in the world today. Say, whatever makes you think God exists? Can you see him? Can you feel him? Can you touch him? Can you point to him? Where is God? Satan would whisper into your mind, there is no God. But the scripture quite clearly says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's foolish. It's blind and short-sighted to go around today thinking that there is no God. And I'd love to be able to show you God tonight, but I mean, it's not very easy for me to do that because God cannot be seen. And it needs faith to see God. But I know he's there. I know he exists. And I see the evidence of God's existence all around me in creation. And Satan would, again, blind your eyes and say, no, just because that flower is so beautiful and it is, forms every year, beautiful flowers, the trees and all the other things that you see happening around you, the beauty in creation, just because that happens consistently, time and time again, Satan would say, well, it doesn't mean there's a God. It just happens. It's just one of those things that happens. It's evolved. It's just gradually become like that. Well, there are people that believe that. And Satan is very effective at blinding their eyes and blinding maybe your eyes, that there is no God and that everything happens by chance. The world that we live in, is it formed by chance? No. I think as you look at it and as you see the detail of creation, as you see the beauty of the heavens and the stars and all that happens in such a consistent manner and in such a controlled manner, we find that it's evidence that God exists. Well, to those of us that can see it, we think, well, of course God must exist. How else could it be so? But Satan would say, no. Why? How do you know that there is a God? Well, I've read this verse in Timothy. God's word to us, God is one, and the mediator of God and men one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. You know, God, for 4,000 years, was fairly obscure. There were those that knew he existed and spoke of him and prophesied as to him. But about 2,000 years ago, just over now, God actually sent his son, Jesus, into the world as proof that he existed and that he was there. And that is the proof that I can give you tonight, that God exists. He sent his son into this world. That is fact. That is something that you will find in all the history books. The fact that our history is catalogued in years, and there were years that are BC, before Christ, and the years that we live in today, in the year of our Lord, AD. That's what it stands for, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. It's proof that God has existed because he sent his son. It's an absolute known fact that Jesus came in the world. Do you believe that Jesus is God's son? There are some, of course, that don't. But God took care of that because Jesus demonstrated who he was, his divinity, by the things that he did, the miracles that he did. And he began to do those miracles in a place called Cana of Galilee. And his first miracle was at a wedding when he turned water into wine. Other miracles that he did, culminating in perhaps the greatest miracle of all, he raised a man who had died 4 days in the grave, Lazarus, and he called him forth from the grave. Who else is able to do that other than God himself? And Lord Jesus spoke to his Father, prayed so that the people might know and see that it was the glory of God that was at work in bringing Lazarus from the dead. So God is one, and the mediator of God and men one, the man Christ Jesus. That's the proof that God exists. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who did all those wonderful miracles as proof that he was God. And that's the proof, and it's there for us to see in the scriptures. That's the proof I would give you that God exists. But it goes on to say, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. And that's proof of something else, that God loves us. Mm. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him might not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love was such that he not only sent his Son into this world, but he caused him to go by the way of the cross, a cruel death of suffering. And it was a death that God designed for him, because he was to bear the sins of many. It says he gave himself a ransom for all. That means that God provided Jesus as a saviour for all in the world today. And every single person can avail themselves of Jesus as a saviour. He gave himself a ransom for all. The sins that he bore on the cross are only for those who've put their trust in Jesus. So while Jesus died and he did take away the sin of the world, when it comes to your sins and my sins, it's a question as to whether you have believed God and whether you've put your trust in Jesus. And so there is another scripture that speaks about him giving himself a ransom for many. Are you amongst the many of those that have believed on Jesus? Well, do you first of all believe God exists? Well, I trust that you can think about this verse of scripture. Think about God, who has proved that he exists by sending his Son. And think about that, the miracles that Jesus has done. Proof that he is God. And proof that God has loved you, in that he caused his Son to die for you on the cross at Calvary. Shed his precious blood. God said, even in the Old Testament times, come, let us reason together, God said, though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. And that cleansing, that changing of you from the red crimson stain of your sins to being cleansed and being white and pure as wool, is only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that first whisperings of Satan in your mind that God doesn't exist, you can dispel that immediately with what I've told you tonight and this verse that I've given you from the scripture. Well, what's the next thing that Satan might whisper to you, might lie to you, in order to keep you away from true salvation? Well, he might say to you, God may well exist, but what does that matter? We live and then we die, and after that, that's it. That's the end of it. Not so. That's another lie of Satan, that death is the end of everything here. It's not so. And so I read that other verse for you in Hebrews. It is the portion of men once to die. Satan can't convince you that death isn't around. It's evidence everywhere, isn't it? So you'll never find Satan will whisper you that you're never going to die. Death. And it's the portion of men once to die. That's quite clear from Scripture. God says it too. He says it in this verse. And then he says, after this, judgment. That's the thing that Satan will try and say doesn't exist. But God makes it very clear. If you believe God exists, believe his word, you have to start believing everything that he says in the Bible. And what God says is that after death, the judgment. After this, judgment. God is a righteous God, a holy God, and he does take this matter of our sins very, very seriously. And if you die in your sins, you will be judged in your sins, and it's a very, very serious matter. And whatever Satan might whisper to you about death being the end of everything, don't believe it. It's a lie. God makes it very clear. It is the portion of men once to die, and after this, the judgment. God is righteous and holy, And if you die in your sins, you will be judged in your sins. Well, again, you can use this scripture to dismiss that lie of Satan, that it doesn't matter, that nothing happens after death. Death is the end. That is not the case. Well, I don't want to dwell too much more on that, but let's think about the next thing that Satan might say. Well, you might have got so far in your thoughts, you might realize that yes, God is exists, and God is looking for goodness. God is good. And you might think, well, there are a lot of people in the world today who think, I can get by living a good life. And that might be Satan's next little lie to you. That if you go through life and behave yourself and do good, give to the poor, obey your parents, get a good education and get a good job and do good in the community. There are many people think that if they can do that and achieve goodness in this world, that God will bless them and that judgment can be alleviated. Not so. That's another lie of Satan. And so I read this other verse that makes it very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can never reach a point where we can stand before God and say that in our own merits we don't deserve judgment because we are all sinners. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to have it pointed out to us that we've failed, we've done something wrong. But this scripture makes it clear that all have sinned. And I think when we look into our own hearts, we know what we are like. We know what evil thoughts we have. We know how we like to disobey. We know how we like to do things that satisfy and please ourselves and go against the very commandments of God. And as we take an interest in what God says and his commandments, we realize that God has set a standard that is very, very high. And that standard is seen in the Lord Jesus himself. He came and demonstrated God's standard of this glory. The glory of God was seen in Jesus. Jesus demonstrated that glory in his life, in his perfection, in his moral perfection, because he was perfect in every way. God's standard was laid out for us in the Ten Commandments, and you don't have to go very far in those Ten Commandments to realize how much of a failure you and I are in the sight of God. And the Lord Jesus in the end often summarized the commandments as one simple statement: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might and all your understanding, and your neighbor as yourself. That summed up the whole law for Jesus, because he could see that no man ever kept that in perfection, and we don't. All have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. So don't let Satan tell you the lie that you'll be able to live a life that's good enough to get by, to avoid the judgment of God that is coming after death. We have all sinned. Well, maybe you've got this far in your thinking, and God speaking to you in the glad tidings, maybe you've reached this point that you are a sinner, and that you therefore do need to do something about it. What's the next lie that Satan will tell you? Well, like he whispered to me when I was young, you're young, you've got all your life ahead of you. You can put off all this question of getting your sins washed away. You can leave it for a future day. There's lots you can do. You've got a whole life ahead of you. Why don't you enjoy yourself? Why don't you get on in the world? And that's exactly what Satan would try and tell you, that you've got all the time in the world to deal with God and your sins. There was a man in the Gospels that felt like that, and I've just read briefly from Luke's Gospel of what God had to say to that man. He was a landowner and had lots of possessions, lots of abundance. He was a rich man, and his land brought forth abundantly. And he decided that he would enjoy it all for himself and build his barns, even bigger barns, and fill his granaries and build up greater and lay up all his produce and all his good things. And he said to himself, "You've got much good things laid up for many years. Just now sit back and enjoy it. Eat, drink and be merry." And that was Satan whispering to him that you've got all the time in the world to enjoy yourself. And have fun and be merry. But God said to him that night, "Fool," he said, "this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose will be all of this good stuff that you've prepared and set by?" Wow, what a thing for that man to hear. We don't know what happened, but the message is quite clear. This thus is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, if Satan ever breathes that lie into your mind that you've got plenty of time, you can leave this question of your sins for a future day. Don't listen to him. It's a lie. You never know what time is left. I'll tell you the reason for that. It's not simply because you might die today. There's another more important reason. The Lord Jesus himself might come back today to take all those that have put their trust in him to be with him. That's a very real prospect, and all believers have that hope in their hearts. So it might not be that you're going to get run over by a bus as you walk out of this room. That might not be the reason why you have no time left. It might be that Jesus himself, this very night, is going to come and take all those that believe in him to be with him. Your time is not yours to decide what days you've got left and to leave this decision of coming to the Lord Jesus and owning him as your only Saviour. There's no other name that God has given today in this world by which you must be saved other than the name of Jesus. And so that's why I read the last scripture. And this is not a lie that Satan would whisper to you at all. This is a real truth. This is a message. The message of the gospel in a nutshell. What must you do to be saved? And the answer is believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So everything that I've said to you tonight, all of those lies that Satan would tell to you, you can dismiss them and put them forever to bed, because you can believe on the Lord Jesus tonight and be saved. And you can know the certainty of that salvation, because God has sent his son Jesus into the world to die for you. He's given his life a ransom for you. He's paid the price. Everything has been done. It's simply for you to accept it for yourself. Well, that's the simple message in the gospel tonight. Satan would try his utmost to divert you away from acting on the gospel message tonight. But don't let him tell those lies to you. Don't let him convince you otherwise. The urgency is that now is the day of salvation. Now is the well-accepted time. You've only got today. You may only have the next hour in which to put your trust in Jesus and believe on him. He has done everything for you and he loves you. And I just want to leave you with that final thought, that Jesus loves you. That's why he came. That's why he went to the cross and died. It wasn't because God told him he had to do it. No, Jesus came because he fully represents God's love. He fully represents God. And God is love. And Jesus did it out of love. He did it while we were still sinners. And Christ died for us. And that's the wonderful message in the gospel, that God loves us. And Jesus has loved you enough to die for you and shed his precious blood for you. He did it out of love. There's no one else that will ever love you like Jesus. And he wants a relationship with you. And it may be that Jesus doesn't come today. And if he doesn't, He wants you to enjoy his company as a friend, one who loves you and one who will be with you and one who will help you in your battles against Satan, because believe you me, Satan will continue to battle against you and tell you lies and convince you that even after you've put your trust in Jesus, that there are still things that you can do to keep you away from him and keep you out of the blessings that Jesus has in mind for you. Satan would love to just rob God of your response to him, because that's what he's looking for ultimately, is that we might have a relationship with him. God himself, to bless him, to worship him and to praise him. And that relationship takes time and sacrifice on our part.